And here we go, folks. It is Tuesday, April the 7th, 2026, year of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's resurrected edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we say often here on this humble little informational endeavor, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, not when their sole reason for existing is to destroy us. We don't wish them well. We wish them utter failure. We wish everything to completely fall apart and for all of their hopes, dreams, plans, and operations to literally go up in smoke. Let's see, folks. It's been a little bit since we've been together. First and foremost, we at this little informational endeavor would like to wish everyone a very heartfelt, happy, and blessed Resurrection Day season. Not Easter, folks. We don't call it Easter. We call it Resurrection Day because that's what it is. Just as Crucifixion Friday is not referred to here as Good Friday. There's nothing good about what happened on that day. And there's only one group of people who think that something good did happen on that day. Now, it sounds like we're splitting hairs here, folks, but we're really not. There's an important lesson that is attached to all of this, and it deals with language, liberating the language, and in the process of liberating the language, liberating our mindsets, and liberating our freedom of movement and freedom of choice. Language is what ultimately is going to decide what kinds of policies take place, and those policies decide what happens. And as a result of imprecise language, sometimes faulty or even false language, folks, this is the reason why we now find ourselves literally just a few hours away, possibly, from 100 million people being wiped off the map. If we are to take the words of the President of the United States, not only the most powerful man in the world, but the most powerful man in human history, we're to take him at his word, he plans to wipe the entire Persian civilization off the map, if we take him at his word. This is all assuming that he's not engaging in one of his usual things where he throws a stink bomb out there and gets everybody to react to it, and then the outcome of that reaction is what he had planned all along. Maybe he does have something that he's worked through the back channels, folks, and this is all just bluff and bluster, but then again, maybe it's not. Okay. This is the reason why, for the last 10 years, we at this website, at this program, have cautioned people not to allow themselves to get caught up in the emotionalism of the moment and to add their voices to those of Israel by screeching in the face of the one man who is trying to prevent the world from going up in smoke. What we have said many times is that his name is Donald Trump. It's not Clark Kent. He's not Superman. Okay, he's susceptible to all of the same kind of pressures that all of us are. Therefore, don't make it any more difficult than it already is. All you're doing is helping out the very people who right now are holding a loaded gun to your head and to the heads of your loved ones. Now, folks, what we're hoping to do here, assuming that we're all alive, in the next 48 hours, instead of doing the typical 1 hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hour programs once a week, we're going to try doing three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, shorter programs, maybe only 30, 40 minutes at a time. The problem, folks, is that as yours truly gets older and as my faculties become a little bit more worn out every day, I get easily brain twisted and tongue-tied. You know, I read so much information And I spend so much of my time, you know, trying to put the pieces of this very complicated and oftentimes convoluted puzzle together that by the time I sit down to do a program, I'm trying to squash just an unbelievable amount of information and analysis into a zip file. Anybody who works with computers knows what that is, a zip file. You know, it's sent along in this very tiny package, and then you open it up and it balloons up into this, you know, book's worth of information. Anyway, so we're going to try this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And of course, if something really big happens, maybe we'll do a special emergency broadcast. We're going to give it a shot. We can't make any promises other than we're going to do our best. We're going to give it the old college try. We'll just have to see. But that's where we are today. So today is Tuesday, so probably Thursday, folks, God willing. I'm a day late getting started, not because I didn't try. This is about the 10th time that I've sat down and tried to put together a program for all of you. And I just didn't like the way things were going with it. And I just shelved it and decided to go for a walk or do something, go shoot my crossbow. That's my new hobby now, folks. It's really the only hobby I have right now, is I really enjoy the crossbow. I know you hunters out there who are purists, you scoff at the crossbow, but you know, I'm not a young man. I can't pull back on a 70 or 80-pound bow like I did in years past, and so I just love that crossbow. And, you know, I just think about, wonder, you know, how useful that that would be if some troublemakers show up to cause some trouble for me. And, of course, everybody says, well, you know, you've got lots of guns and you're good with guns, but it's very... It's just too commonplace, folks. I mean, if you have somebody shows up who's intent upon carrying out an act of religious terrorism against you and against your family because you happen to say things that they don't like, you know, for me, it just seems a lot more emotionally satisfying to launch an arrow from a long distance and have it hit my target, and then they have to look down and see this arrow sticking out of them. I know that sounds horrible, folks, but just chalk it up to the times in which we are living. So this is about the 10th time, actually, in the last 24 hours that I've tried to put together a program. So far, it feels okay. We're going to, we'll just see. We're already 10 minutes into it, which means I want to try to get this wrapped up in the next 20 minutes. Okay, folks, so we're going to start off today's discussion with something of an unpleasant comparison, unpleasant depiction of things. You know, in every home, at least every modern home, whether it's a house or an apartment or whatever, there are different aspects of it being its own little mini civilization, right? You've got a floor under your feet, you have a roof over your head, you've got four walls around you, and then you've got a place in your domicile where you can cook your food, you have a place where you can sit and eat your food, you have a place where you can sleep, you have a place where you can gather with loved ones and friends and sit and talk, play cards or chess or checkers or whatever. Then you have this thing known as a bathroom. Okay, really, really important. If I had to choose, folks, between a kitchen and a bathroom, I think I would choose the bathroom. And I think everybody listening to the program knows why. All right, there is this thing that our bodies have to do on a regular basis, and it's not something that you want hanging around in the house, right? Now, imagine, folks, imagine if we had this bathroom, but for whatever reason, the people living in it decided not to flush the toilet. Okay, you can go and use the bathroom, just don't flush the toilet. They don't give you a reason why, okay? So depending upon the amount of time that passes and how many people happen to be in the house, this just gets to be an unbearable situation. Right? And you can't get away from it. The smell, Okay, it's, you know, it's everywhere, folks. And people complain, you know, the house stinks, you can't go anywhere. And it's all because somebody decided not to flush the toilet, ever. Well, folks, that is a description, a rather disgusting description of the world in which we find ourselves right now. Okay? The place stinks, and it's all because the head of the house decided a long time ago that nobody's allowed to flush the toilet. Now, what am I talking about here, folks? I am talking about, of course, the Jews and their stinking religion. It is them and their stinking religion that has stunk up the entire planet and has now brought all of us to the brink of our own destruction. Did they force this on us? No, they didn't, folks. Thousands of years ago, right after the King of the Gentiles, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead, and this revolution took place to free the world of this stinking religion that is practiced by these stinking people. Rather than flush the toilet, folks, the people who were entrusted to do all of our thinking for us and to pass along the words and the memory and traditions of Jesus Christ, they said, don't flush the toilet. Now, what I'm talking about specifically here, folks, is that the decision was made to try and to put together, to try to pour the new wine of Jesus Christ and his teachings into the old wine, the wineskins of the Old Testament, the Torah, Judaism. Despite Jesus' many warnings, okay, don't pour new wine into old wineskins. The wineskins will burst, and then the wine, which is supposed to be this life-saving substance, because that's what it was at that time, folks. It's alcohol. You use it to disinfect wounds and things like that. The wine will burst the wineskins, and then the wine will spill out on the ground, and there will be nothing for you to use. So it's basically where we find ourselves today, folks, is that there is no Christianity left with any medicine in it. All of the medicinal properties that were supposed to save us from this group of people and what they had planned for us, which obviously right now is materializing right in front of our eyes, all of the medicinal properties were taken out the moment that the decision was made to try and merge the religion of the Jews with the message of Jesus Christ, despite the fact that his last words when he was hanging on the cross was, "It is done. It is finished." Everybody thinks that that was him saying that his life was finished, but what he was saying was is that the Judaic nightmare, you know, it had been revealed to all ages, to all generations, because of what the Jews did to Jesus. It revealed to anybody who would bother to pay attention that these were not normal people. And Jesus made this fact clear to us. He referred to them as wolves. He referred to them as a brood of vipers. He referred to them as children of their father, the devil. And yet, folks, 2,000 years later, we have a substantial portion of those who claim to be the great-great-great-great grandchildren of the early Christians saying that the Jews are God's chosen people rather than children of their father, the devil, as Jesus described it. They take the Jews' word for it over Jesus's. So what I'm saying here, folks, is we find ourselves in this situation because things that we that should have been repeated to us weren't. Things that we should have been told, we weren't told. And things that we were not told, that we should not have been told, we were. In effect, Jesus' revolution has been turned upside down. And it's not as if we didn't have plenty of information coming right from him, that if we had just bothered to put the pieces of this puzzle together in the proper way, that would have given us everything we needed in order to not wind up in this place where we find ourselves right now. Now, why am I bringing this up now, folks? Well, going back to the disgusting imagery that I just used in describing our world today, obviously any hope of making this home, this domicile, livable again means that we have to start cleaning up the filth. We have to start shoveling it out and mopping and disinfecting and all of the rest of it, and then we have to make sure, folks, from that moment on, that the toilet gets flushed, and we don't allow this filth to build up around us so that it's at our ankles, and then it's at our knees, and then it's gotten to this place where our world has become uninhabitable. So I've got a couple of sound bites I'm going to play for you quickly, folks. And we're going to talk about what these sound bites, how they are relevant to the situation in which we find ourselves. And the first one is coming right now.
Israel should make the Gaza Strip a parking lot by this time next week. Destroy the whole thing. And get a great big missile and blow that wicked Dome of the Rock plumb off of the spot where it's standing right now, so we can get that third temple rebuilt and usher in the coming of Jesus.
Okay, folks, so those of you who think that this was some kind of, weird fiction that somebody put together on YouTube or whatever, it's not, folks, it's the real deal. This guy is a Christian preacher, and he is talking about exterminating over 2 million people in Gaza. That was at the beginning of the bloodbath to exterminate Amalek that Benjamin Netanyahu discussed. Let's see. We've got another soundbite here I'm going to play very quickly, folks. And here it comes.
I don't disagree with what Israel's doing. It's like they should just go in there and be like, you know what? We want our hostages back. If we don't have them back, clock starts now in fucking 24 hours. We're going to start bombing motherfuckers and killing fucking civilians 30, 40,000 a fucking time. So you civilians better fucking pack up and fucking get these fucking motherfuckers and you go against Hamas. You fucking go against them. We're not playing fucking games with you. But that's the only thing people understand. This is what happened in Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Okay, folks, so I should have warned you ahead of time, especially any of you out there who may have had small children in the room, that you were going to be mercilessly F-bombed with that. My apologies. Okay, so folks, what you're listening to, the first one was a pastor, I believe his last name is Locke, I can't remember off the top of my head what his first name was, and the second one is this very famous rock musician called Kid Rock. Also happens to be, you know, of the right-wing bent and obviously really, really prefers peppering all of his thoughts with the F word. Anyway, both of these people have had some part of their beings taken over, obviously, by some dark, diabolical power, okay? Whether you want to call it demonic possession, diabolic possession, obviously they have given over their human side to this dark power. Now, the reason I bring this up, folks, is because unfortunately, we don't really have enough of an awareness of the fact that this is a spiritual war that is going on. Okay, this isn't just over land or resources or money or anything like that. This is every bit as much the battle of good and evil that was taking place 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was trying to tell anybody who would listen that there was this horrible, terrible, dangerous force on the planet, and that if it wasn't understood properly, and if it wasn't dealt with in the proper way, that it was going to destroy everything. He told us everything that we needed to know, folks. And unfortunately, as I said earlier, those who we entrusted to, you know, parse all of this out and to put the pieces of this puzzle together in such a way that it was understandable for us, they didn't do that. Okay, they somehow, they said, you know, the same words of Moses are the words that are attributed to Moses in the Old Testament, where he says, go in and kill everything, down to the suckling infant, that those words are perfectly synonymous and complementary with the words of Jesus Christ, where he was saying that if anyone were to hurt one of these little children, that they should be executed for doing this. Evil is real, folks. Possession is real. And we are living in a world right now that is populated more with demons than it is with angels. Make no mistake about it, folks. And the principal agent for bringing this into our world has been this one particular substratum of subhumanity who call themselves the children of Israel. Whether it's Kid Rock saying that they should that the Jews should go in and slaughter 30,000 people at a time, or this Christian preacher who doesn't use the F-bomb one time, but he talks about exterminating 2 million, 2.5 million innocent people. The diabolical possession is basically the same, folks. And even those who are not political, if you have any doubt about this sickness that is, it's a pandemic now, just go and have a conversation with somebody that deals with something other than, well, I'll tell you what, try and have a conversation with them about what the President of the United States has just threatened to do if he doesn't get his way here within the next couple of hours, that he's going to wipe out 100 million people. Try to get an intelligent conversation with them. Try not to notice the fact that they have colored their hair 3 or 4 different shades of unnatural colors. Try to not notice that they're covered with tattoos from head to toe, including in places you can't see because they're wearing at least a little bit of clothing that's covering them up. Try not to notice or focus on all of the metal that's hanging off their body. Lips, eyebrows, tongues, and again, other places probably where they have had themselves pierced that you can't see because they're at least wearing a little bit of clothing. This really is the devil's kingdom, folks. And his children, again, Jesus' words, not mine, are the ones who are basically managing affairs for him. So where does this bring us, folks? Well, obviously, we have seen just a complete turnaround of what was reality just in the last month. And especially given the behavior of the President of the United States. Now, some people are saying, you see, we told you so. We told you that he was in hock to the Jews and that he was going to give them what they wanted. Well, yes and no, folks. One of the things that I have maintained and I continue to maintain is that whatever Trump is doing, this is not what he wanted to do. Okay, if he wanted to do this, he would have done it 10 years ago when he was first president. Certainly he would have done it a year ago. He wouldn't have tried to negotiate the ceasefire in Gaza and all of these other things. And one of the things that, unfortunately, few people seem to have grasped is that, at least by appearances, the president seems either to have taken leave of his faculties, which is entirely possible, or else he is under so much pressure that he's just basically given up. Okay, that Netanyahu has made him an offer that he can't refuse, and the president really has no other recourse other than to just set the world on fire as the Jews have been planning to do now for the last 3,000 years. Now, folks, if he has taken leave of his faculties, and if he has now become some version of either one of these two diabolically possessed individuals that you just heard, to a certain degree, folks, we helped to bring this about. And I don't include yours truly in that, or the handful of people with whom I still maintain close contact who have been trying to shout down all of the screeching that has been directed against the president by all sorts of people. We're talking about those people with their podcasts and their websites who have tried to make the case that the president is just as every bit as much a tool of Benjamin Netanyahu as was George W. Bush or Joe Biden, or any of these, or Lindsey Graham, or any of these other people. Whereas we have tried to say, no, it's not as simple as that. It's a little bit more complicated than that, okay? So it's very possible, folks, that the president has finally just said, I've had it, that's it. You know, I've tried to warn people about the dangers of World War III, especially nuclear World War III. Nobody is paying attention. Let them find out the hard way. Let them find out how bad it really is when all of the brakes have been taken off of this thing. That may very well be where we are, folks. Same time, it is also possible that the president is doing this because he has something up his sleeve. It's possible. But again, folks, this dark energy that was just demonstrated with these two horrible sound bites that you just heard, it's everywhere, and there's nobody that's impervious to it. And when you're somebody like the president who is receiving arrows from all directions, it's very easy to just finally, just as Pontius Pilate did 2,000 years ago, he was completely opposed to the notion of crucifying this innocent man. And he tried reasoning with the people. He said, what has he done? And they wouldn't hear anything of it. All of Pontius Pilate's entreaties went to nothing. So he said, all right, well, I'll give them some meat, no pun intended, and obviously no disrespect intended to Jesus Christ. I'll throw them a few pieces of bloody meat, and that will quiet them down. And so Pilate had Jesus flogged. And it wasn't enough, folks. Even after having all of the skin ripped off of his body, his bones protruding because the flesh had been ripped away from them. It still wasn't enough for them. To the point where Pilate realized that he was up against forces that he could not, despite the fact that he was the most powerful man in that part of the world at that time, that he was up against forces that he simply could not resist and finally had to give in. And that may very well be where the president is now, folks. I'd like to be able to bring you better news than that, but as I said, you know, in the last 24 or 48 hours, we have heard things that we have never heard before. And as we've said on this program many times, his name is not Clark Kent. He's not Superman. He has a limit, and it would appear as though he has reached the end of that limit. Now, if we get through this, folks, let's say that by some miracle, this thing gets resolved and 100 million Iranians are not incinerated as Netanyahu and the rest of these terrorists, religious terrorists, are demanding. We need to begin this process, folks, of cleaning up the house. Get the shovels and get the shop vacs, the wet vacs, the mops, the disinfectants, open the windows. Get this place cleaned up. Get this stinking religion, this filthy, disgusting, putrid in the nostrils religion out of our lives. And let us never allow this to happen again. We had 3 years of warnings given to us by the one man who knew better than anyone. And if that wasn't enough in making it clear to us, then certainly what took place on Crucifixion Friday should have removed any doubts. There's no civilizing these people. There's no rehabilitating these people ever. It's been 2,000 years, folks, and they're not going to come around. And what this means is that for our own sake, we have to put as much distance between ourselves and them as possible. We have to make this planet, folks, this planet that was given to us, the Gentiles, we have to make it as inhospitable to them as possible. We have to flood the environment with truth and with honesty and with compassion and with fairness. And with justice. And all of these things that were this was the DNA of Jesus Christ. We have to make this planet so Christian, quote unquote, that it becomes uninhabitable for these people. And then they finally dig a hole and crawl back down into the middle of the earth where they originally existed before they crawled out and began their rampage upon humanity. And those few who make the effort, folks, those few of them who make the effort and they say, I don't want to have anything to do with any of that. I want to live in this clean environment. I want to be around honest people, compassionate people, people who have completely cleanse themselves of their Judaism. Fine. Our position here, folks, is that the only good Jew is a dead Jew, meaning a Jew that has completely killed off his or her attachment to his or her Judaism and has now become a human being. Last thing that we want to say on today's program, folks, we are rounding the 35-minute mark, and I'm going to leave you to digest, no pun intended, I'm going to leave you to digest the buffet of information that we have laid out here until we get together again. Tucker Carlson, who, by the way, folks, we give him nothing but applause for what he is doing. It really is a miracle to see. If somebody had said, had put a crystal ball in front of me a year ago and said, okay, this is what the world is going to be like a year from now, I would never believe it. I knew it was coming. I just would never have imagined that it would come this quickly. One of the things that he is famous for saying in one of his ads, I think it's for some kind of a veterinary service or something, is that his is the most dog-friendly podcast anywhere. And that's a good thing, folks, because dogs are wonderful animals. So we would like to take a page from that by saying that ours is the most pro-Semite, pro-Semitic podcast anywhere. Not only that, the website is the most pro-Semite and the most pro-Semitic website anywhere. Now, people will say, well, wait a minute. It says right there on the front of the website, respectable anti-Semitism for thinking Gentiles or something along those lines. Intelligent anti-Semitism. Of course, the anti-Semitism is in quotation marks. Well, folks, obviously, you know what we mean by that. We're not anti-Semitic. We are the most pro-Semitic outfit in the universe because we support Jesus Christ and we support the followers, the true followers of Jesus Christ, which includes 2 billion Muslims around the world, folks. Yes, that's correct, folks. The Muslims are supporters of Jesus Christ. The Muslims would give their lives in defense of Jesus. They would give their lives 10 times to the number of Christians that would give their lives for Jesus Christ. Generous by saying that 10% of the Christians would give their lives for Jesus Christ. I personally have my doubts about that. The Christians and the Muslims are the Semites, folks. The Arabs, the Persians, the Turks. Especially the Muslims who are on the front lines fighting this. If it hadn't been for Islam, folks, none of us would be alive today. Because the Jews would have had an open, unhindered path towards what they are institutionally and constitutionally built to do, which is to destroy the planet and to hand it lock, stock, and barrel right over into the hands of their father, the devil. If it hadn't been for Islam, folks, saying this to you Christians out there who take something of a jaded view towards our Islamic cousins. You know, some people don't like the idea of saying that our brothers and sisters. I personally don't have a problem with that, but I'll just play along by saying that they are our cousins then. If they weren't here, if they hadn't been here for the last 1400 years, to push back against the stink of Judaism, the filth and the putrescence of it. Imagine where we would be today. And on that note, folks, that's it for today. April 7th, 2026, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles. As we say often, folks, we have to not just pray for a miracle, we have to work for one. And what that means is we have to clean house. We have to get rid of everything that doesn't belong here, even if it means that you're going to go against what they have taught in your church and what your priest or your preacher or pastor or even your pope has told you. You know, very quickly, over the weekend, over Resurrection Day weekend, the pope, head of the largest group of Christians on the planet, held a phone call with the slithery, slimy president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, where they talked about interfaith unity. Interfaith unity. There is no interfaith unity between the followers of Jesus Christ and the haters of Jesus Christ, folks. And when the most powerful Christian figure in the world holds a phone call with one of Satan's chief lieutenants, and they're talking about interfaith unity between the religion based around the teachings and person of Jesus Christ and the religion whose foundational principles right now is the hatred of Jesus Christ. There's something that smells really, really bad about that. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Hopefully we'll all be around sometime Thursday, possibly, to get together and continue this conversation. Thanks to all of my henchmen out there who send me good information that they find on the internet. I really have some very talented people who are good at digging up these nuggets of gold that contribute immensely to the discussion that we're trying to have here. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. God bless all of us. God protect all of us. Don't just pray for the miracle, folks. Go out and, to the best of our abilities, make it happen.